Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Diplomatic Resurgence by S.E. Weir and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Lauren Ezzo. Chapter 1. QBBS Meredith Reynolds. After the establishment of the Etheric Empire and 12 years before the Battle of Carillia. The couple waiting within the room looked up when Link walked through the door.
Ah, Chris and Zoe. Thank you for being prompt.
Chris nodded, his thick, dark hair barely moving. Zoe shifted, her gaze intent on Link. Your summons proved mysterious enough. The man grinned as he turned to his wife, his eyes warm.
That's all you need to do to get Zoe's attention. Be mysterious enough.
Zoe rolled her eyes and gave him a brief look of skepticism before smiling in amusement. It worked for you anyway.
Yes, yes.
Link waved away the lovey-dovey stuff. He'd heard it from them before. Not to mention that it made him wistfully jealous.
You can do that on your own time. Let's get to why you're here, shall we?
Zoe nodded solemnly. Yes, please, tell us. Chris turned his focus to Link. Excellent. Their ability to relax around others, as well as come to rapt attention when needed, were a couple of the many reasons why they were two of his top people.
You have both been instrumental in gathering information and giving us a leg up in negotiations as we established the Empire in these systems over the last 5 years.
He looked at the woman in front of him. She was a skilled negotiator who used those skills to establish connections and gain information.
You have proven that you are committed to the Empire and are with us to the end. The Empress has authorized me to offer you both a procedure to increase your longevity, so you are with us no matter how long this war with the Carthurians takes.
The two gave him identical stares, then looked at each other as if they could speak mentally. The idea was crazy, of course. No one could do that except for Bethany Ann and Barnabas, although that ability was under tight wraps. The two spies turned to Link, their faces hopeful but wary of being disappointed. They both nodded at the same time, and Chris spoke.
We appreciate the offer and the Empress's trust in us. We want the Empress to win, and we will do everything we can to help her. But what we want more than anything is a baby.
Zoe added hopefully,
Could you give that longevity to our baby?
Link stared thoughtfully at them for a moment.
Let me get this straight. You two provide services to the Empire and could have your lives extended for a long time, but instead, you want to have a baby?
The two nodded again. Zoe threaded her fingers together, her expression closed. You know I can't carry a baby on my own without help. All the doctors I went to on Earth agreed that my body could not carry one to full term. We are hoping the pod doc or the doctors here could help. Link examined the people in front of him, not certain what he was looking for. Chris's usual charismatic face had almost shut down. He reached over and captured his wife's hand, betraying his concern. Zoe's face appeared impassive, but her eyes pleaded. It proved too much for Link to resist.
Adam, you following?
The spies didn't react, given their training, although they looked hopeful. Adam's voice came over the speaker.
ESDS? What do you think? I have reviewed the health records of Zoe Waters and conferred with Tom and Bethany Ann. We can do it.
The two spies' eyes grew wide at the mention of the Empress. Zoe straightened, her free hand coming up to her heart. Bethany Ann agreed? Chris gripped his wife's hand tightly and swallowed. His eyes developed a slight sheen.
We can have a baby?
Link nodded with his best Grace and Wells smirk.
Yes, congratulations. You're going to have a baby. I imagine you will need to get into the pod dock for a physical to see what needs to happen.
Chris and Zoe Waters sat in the hard plastic chairs of the med unit, holding hands. Their expressions held shock, which warred with joy. I am already pregnant? Zoe gasped in disbelief. Adam and Tom had asked the technician to leave before speaking to the couple. Tom spoke earnestly and tried to reassure them.
Yes, that is the good news. There is, however, bad news.
I'm losing her, aren't I? Zoe couldn't hold back her tears, and Chris tightened his grip on her hand, his eyes filled with pain. This was Zoe's fifth pregnancy, and the grief had taken a toll on them both.
Yes,
Tom responded uncomfortably.
But there is good news,
Adam broke in.
Yes,
Tom agreed cautiously.
There is?
Chris asked in relief, as Zoe urgently pleaded. You can save her!
Yes,
Tom repeated.
However, to do so, we will need to adjust her DNA to account for the chromosome issues we found. She will appear normal and develop on schedule physically, but aside from that, I can't state for sure what might be altered. There could be side effects that some consider are for the better, but others might call them a burden. She will be different from the other children, which might become more obvious as time goes on and will need to be monitored by us. Some possibilities are that she will have an increased IQ, supersensory perception, maximized memory recall, enhanced pattern recognition.
I don't care about any of that, Zoe broke in fiercely. She's our daughter, and all that matters is if she will be healthy.
Oh, yes,
Tom assured her.
Optimized health and growth. I doubt she will even get normal colds and illnesses that others on the station catch before getting the treatment.
Chris sagged in relief and embraced his wife as tears of happiness fell down Zoe's face.
Will I be able to carry her to full term myself?
We will do what we can to keep her in the womb as long as possible, and I don't think it will be a problem,
Tom assured her.
Even if she needs to be born within 2 months of your due date, she will be fine.
The couple held each other and sighed in relief.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome,
Tom answered. He paused before continuing anxiously.
You must realize we can't do this procedure for everyone. You need to keep this information to yourself. If you tell anyone about being able to carry your baby where you previously could not, please only mention that the pod doc was able to fix the problem. You are welcome to tell her when she is old enough to make decisions on her own. Perhaps at 15 or, better, 21.
Chris and Zoe solemnly agreed, and Chris added,
Of course. We understand and very much appreciate your willingness to help us. Zoe, I am curious about something. You are certain your baby is a girl, and while you are correct, we hadn't yet told you that. May I ask why you are so certain?
Adam asked matter-of-factly. Because. Zoe straightened and wiped her tears with the back of her hand. Determined women who fight through adversity to become stronger run in my family. I have no doubt our baby will be the same. She reached down to gently touch her belly with a smile. Her baby would be gifted in more ways than one. Chris smiled at his wife with love in his eyes as he squeezed her other hand.
We will name her Serafina, our fiery angel.
Zoe's eyes lit up.
Oh, Chris, that's perfect. Serafina Grace. The Empire will have a guardian angel watching out for her even after we are gone.
Chris nodded slowly as he touched his wife's hand where she held it over her belly.
Agreed. Perfect.
Unknown location. Current time. Fina floated. In the air, in water. She didn't care. She felt at peace, young, and happy, sensations that felt oddly incongruent with her normal state. She blinked in confusion and looked around, but every view was a grayish-white landscape. Lightning briefly brightened everything. The plain in front of her stretched endlessly, empty of everything except a slight buzz in the air. The buzz wasn't noticeable to her ears, but she felt it in her brain. It was distinctly odd. A stray memory came to her of her mother telling Fina about dancing in the rain as a little girl back on Earth, and how excited her mother had been when she felt electricity in the air, as if it were charging or priming itself for the storm. This buzzing sensation felt exactly like that, but bumped up several notches. Where was she? And how had she gotten here? And now that she was here, how could she leave? While this floaty, happy feeling felt good, it wasn't normal. Right now, Fina wanted to feel normal more than anything in the universe, until that desire slowly drifted away from her, leaving her at peace again. Sometimes she heard conversations between two or three people that intruded into her awareness, but they didn't last. For hours, perhaps days, she existed in that gray plane. She felt like she might have moved as she focused on certain spots in the distance, but she couldn't be sure. Though she felt at peace, Fina couldn't help certain thoughts surfacing, such as wondering about her friends and the people she cared about. Was she cut off from them entirely? What was the state of the Orion planet? As quickly as the thoughts and questions surfaced, they drifted away until all that existed was the gray-white plane, the charging energy, and her sense of peace. It could have been days or weeks or years. To Fina, it felt like both an eternity and the blink of an eye. For a while, she was content to stay in this state and place, with this sense of peace. After some time, she heard beautiful, harmonic music. It made her feel better than she had felt for some time. She became more aware and less hazy. Her mind reached for the music. She could almost understand it, but the meaning slipped away from her, leaving only hope. As she listened to the music, she longed for her friends. Before coming to this gray-white place, Fina had felt like she belonged somewhere, which was a rare sensation. At the moment, she wanted to know what had caused the changes. Adam hadn't told her who or what he thought had done it before she collapsed. Fina had her suspicions, and time would tell if they were correct. Right now, she had to find her way back to normal in a place that felt anything but. As she struggled to look for a way out, Fina finally felt a tug on one side and turned her body to face that direction. Her feet wouldn't move, though. She frowned and tried again, but her body wouldn't turn anymore. The landscape around her was still gray-white. Finally, she closed her eyes and focused on moving toward the tug she felt. She almost cried out in relief when she felt a sense of movement, although she couldn't open her eyes. When Fina focused on her body, she felt an increasing sense of weight and physical presence. The more she thought about her body, the more real it became. The sensations were overwhelming after the empty nothingness of the gray world, dream, whatever it had been. Her muscles felt like they were healthy but recovering. Her strength returned with every moment that passed. Gradually, she began to surface and was able to utilize her senses. Her hearing was muffled until her ears popped with a painful crack. Her body felt like one big bruise that had been left alone for far too long, although that sensation was fading as well. Her mental faculties seemed to be fine, though unless she suddenly couldn't remember or do something like normal, how would she know the difference? Emotionally, she felt calm and better than she remembered, since the last thing she'd known before the gray world was agony and pain. Familiar voices spoke in her hearing. Though muffled, she could hear the words without issue. Vitals are stronger. It appears she's bringing herself out and should be waking up any time now. Dr. April Keelson, her brain supplied. The doctor sounded as if she were moving away from Fina. I'll let you see her, but I'll be in to look her over before too long.
Yes, I see. Thank you.
Fina heard the faint sound of a door opening and closing.
Adam, you ready to share your findings now?
Link's voice sounded weary.
When Fina is awake. I told you before that Tom and Bethany Ann knew and had taken action. Don't you think Fina should have had some say in that decision?
Link sounded annoyed. Why did that make her want to smile?
DS, you know the Empress couldn't and wouldn't wait to act. It might be Fina's life, but it's the Empress's empire, and she takes her responsibility to her people very seriously. I know that, but...
Link sighed from nearby, then grumbled,
That damned woman needs to look at the person whose life she almost snuffed out due to her misguided notion. Agreed. She almost lost Fina due to her blindness, regardless of her intentions. She was so focused on her own agenda that she missed being thorough in her research. Oh?
She heard Link's voice move as if he were facing away from her.
What do you know, Adam?
After a brief pause, during which Fina stirred, trying to hear better, Adams replied,
That is information Fina should hear firsthand, and when she isn't waking from her self-induced coma.
Self-what? Before she could process Adam's comment, she heard a flurry of movement by her side, then a whoosh of air as the pod dock opened. Of course, she was in the pod dock. Where else would she be to heal from this crazy reaction to an unknown source? Fina's eyes fluttered open. She winced at the bright light overhead, then blinked and squinted to adjust to the light. After the soothing, gray, nothing plane, the light seemed harsh, let alone everything else in the room that assaulted her senses. Part of her wanted to go back to the calm numbness, but she shook it off.
Fina, you have clothes you can put on next to you. Welcome back.
Her friend spoke through her implant, so the conversation was private.
Thanks, Adam, she whispered, not certain if she'd spoken out loud or in her head.
She sat up carefully and saw a privacy screen with a shelf extended that held basic clothing. Feeling restless, she sat up, narrowly missing bumping Link's head as he leaned back. She turned to drop her legs over the side of the pod dock and realized that aside from feeling physically and emotionally overwhelmed, she felt pretty good. Not weak like she was expecting from having been lying down so long. However long she'd been here. She reached with trembling hands for the clothes and slowly put them on. She didn't feel weak so much as foreign in her own body. That was strange. After dressing, she pressed a button that removed the privacy screen, then turned her attention to the person on the other side.
Link?
Her voice was scratchy and thick from disuse. How long had she been lying here? Her thoughts were scattered as she looked around the room.
Fina?
Her thoughts focused at once, her gaze moving to the man sitting next to her. The hesitation in his voice was not normal. Neither was Link's use of her name. Come to think of it, Link appeared wearier and somewhat ragged. He looked close to his age, and he hardly ever did. His eyes gave her the most pause, showing such a mix of emotions that they overwhelmed her. Link, what happened? How long has it been? He swallowed, his eyes flashing bleak weariness that faded quickly into relief with a hint of unease.
It's been a while.
Fina stilled. How long? She whispered. Link took a ragged breath and nodded, letting out the words in a rush.
20 months, 1 week, 3 days, and 9 hours.
Chapter 2. Fina's eyes widened in shock.
20 months? She whispered.
That's...
A hell of a long time, my dear,
Link finished, his eyes watching her with concern. She nodded weakly.
Why?
His eyes rose in surprise.
Why has it been so long, or why were you in a self-induced coma to begin with?
Fina raised her free hand to rub her face. Her skin was far more sensitive than she remembered. She shook her head in disbelief.
Both?
Link looked at her, his eyes frustrated, sparking life into his weary features.
Those are two questions I've been waiting quite a while to ask you.
She dropped her hand to look at him with a frown.
To ask me?
He leaned forward.
You are telling me you don't have any idea why you put yourself in a coma for over a year and a half?
Fina frowned.
Well, I have ideas, but I don't know for certain.
All I remember is pain, both in my mind and my body. Link sighed and sagged, his shoulders slumping. He looked so tired and concerned that she wanted to reach out to him. Just like that, her mind slid into his, and she knew exactly how he felt and what was on his mind at that moment. He wanted to believe her, but he couldn't quite bring himself to do so. Fina stilled, and her eyes unfocused. Her mind froze. All she could focus on was Link's lack of belief that she would tell him the truth. Were these his normal suspicious thoughts talking? Or had something happened while she was in the coma to cause him to doubt her? When Fina had stirred and opened her eyes, Link had felt like gathering her up and yelling, "Hallelujah!" He was so relieved that she was finally awake. He hadn't, of course. It wouldn't have been seemly. He kept his stoic expression on his face. Still, he thought his emotions must have been visible, given how strong they were. Link had been very eager to hear why Fina had slept for so long, as well as to have her be present to question her aunt. The desire to bring justice and punishment to the woman who had harmed Fina was burning him up. Hearing that Fina had no idea why she had been in a coma had brought him up short, his mind spinning. How the hell could she not know what was going on? It was called a self-induced coma for a reason.
She had to have known something. It was the only thing that made sense, based on what everyone had told him about her condition.
So, why did she feel the need to hide what had happened? Did she not trust him?
Fina?
Link sounded concerned, but she couldn't bring herself to verify that. It didn't seem to matter. She knew his concern for her was genuine, even if he didn't believe her.
She looked at Link as she sighed.
What?
Link hesitated as if he were about to say something, then shook his head.
What do you want to know first?
Fina's thoughts were all over the place, but one stood out.
Alina?
He smiled faintly.
She's been here every day to talk to you.
She blinked back tears at the rush of longing inside her. She needed to see her best friend, so much so that her mind surprised her by reaching out to connect with Alina's. What astounded her wasn't that she could connect to her friend's mind, but that Alina was occupied with... well...
Fina shook her head, disconnecting before she got stuck in something she wasn't ready to experience.
Foremost in her mind was that mentally reaching out seemed easy. Almost too easy. Far easier than before she had fallen into her apparently self-inflicted coma. What had happened to her to cause these changes while she had been unconscious? The questions swirled in her head, overwhelming her. She closed her eyes. Everything from the air draft blowing on her arms to the floor under her bare feet felt weird. Fina didn't need weird right now. She needed normal. She steadied herself. Link reached for her but dropped his hand when he caught her look. He hadn't believed her. She closed her eyes again to mask the sensations and emotions flying through her. Too much sensory and mental input. Just as she was about ready to pick up her pillow and scream into it to relieve the pressure, she heard footsteps in the other room. The door snicked open, revealing Dr. Keelson. April entered with a huge smile, her comfortable white clothing accentuating her form.
Fina, it's so good to see you awake again. How are you feeling?
Fina shook her head. I can't answer that in a meaningful way.
My mind is getting used to my body and the sensations, which are far more enhanced than I remember them being. Then there are my emotions, which are all over the place. I am still not sure what is going on.
Has it really been over a year and a half since we left the Orion's planet?
Dr. Keelson's smile dimmed, and she nodded.
Yes, it's been quite some time. Brayden said your conscious mind was absent the times he checked for activity. He did say that your cognitive functions were still present, but that was all he could tell us.
Do you have any idea what happened or why you were in a coma for so long?
Fina shook her head, frowning.
The pod doc couldn't do anything either?
I've heard it could heal just about anything.
April sighed.
We had you placed into the Empress's personal pod doc, the one all the others are patterned after. It stabilized you. Then we did everything we could to isolate the problem coding in your nanocytes. Your body wasn't adjusting properly to the nanos in the serum your aunt gave you. Eventually, Adam and Tom rewrote your nanocyte code to bypass the previous programming so your body could properly function.
She frowned, then nodded.
At least, that's my understanding of it. The doctor narrowed her eyes.
What's wrong?
Fina had frozen.
My aunt gave me a serum?
Holy hell in a handbasket. Dr. Keelson turned to look at Link with a scowl.
You didn't tell her?
Link rubbed his head in frustration as he sagged into his chair. So much for his original plan.
I was waiting until she had adjusted to being awake.
His eyes hardened at the look of admonishment he received from the doctor.
Believe me, April, Fina deserves to know, but she's just woken up. I was giving her time.
Fina raised her hand to pause the conversation, took a deep breath with her eyes closed, and she straightened her shoulders.
All right. Please explain why you believe my aunt did this.
April shook her head, lips pressing together.
I don't know for sure, but that is what I was told.
Link glowered at the woman. Why did people insist on interfering with his plans? He knew he should have whisked Fina away to recover by herself. She needed to have information given to her gradually.
We know, Adam has been very thorough.
Adam? Fina's voice practically melted. Hang it all, she sounded like a lovesick puppy. Such things did not improve his mood. Of course, he had to wait for her to finish her welcome home conversation with the AI before he explained about her aunt. Link stewed as he waited for Fina to finish. This homecoming was not what he had thought it would be after waiting so long for her to wake up. Why couldn't she focus on the important things? Had she always been this distractible? Perhaps it was an effect of her months in a coma. Adam. Fina's heart warmed when she thought about her friend, but she found herself almost scared to ask him now. Once he told her what evidence they had to convict her aunt, she would have no choice but to believe it. Even though Fina had suspected Aunt Faith, part of her, the part of her that had known the softer side of her aunt as a child, had hoped she was wrong. Damn it. Fina refused to be a coward. Adam, she whispered.
Hi, Fina.
Adam replied through the speaker. Her shoulders relaxed when she heard the AI's voice. Tell me, Adam. Her implant sparked to life, turning their conversation private.
I'm happy you are all right, Fina. We were concerned.
Fina squinted in confusion. She sat against the platform. We?
Adam's confident tones showed no hesitation. Stark and I.
Really? Her interest sparked for the first time since she woke up. Stark was concerned?
Yes. He made the transition to AI on the trip you fought the Skeins on Liriasha, the Orion's planet. The decision to risk his engines and the integrity of the hull of his ship to get you here was the tipping point that pushed him to ascend.
Fina's eyes brightened. That's amazing, Adam. I remember we talked about the possibility not long before that trip. Can you tell him thank you for risking himself for me? I hope that rush didn't cause him too many problems. Remembering that the trip had been quite some time ago caused her smile to dim. Dr. Kielsen eyed her in concern and stepped forward.
Are you all right?
Fina nodded, then sighed and spoke out loud. Okay, Adam. Just tell me. How do you know it's Aunt Faith?
April and Link looked at her in concern, but she ignored them and listened to Adam. It didn't matter what they thought. She needed to know from the AI. Do you remember the day she came to visit and you ate with her, then fell asleep? Adam asked, using the speaker.
Fina frowned, her mind bringing it up. She had arrived to find her Aunt Faith acting oddly. They'd had a pleasant enough lunch, then she had felt overwhelming fatigue. Aunt Faith had said it was dehydration, and she was not taking care of herself properly. Yes?
Adam continued. When your aunt arrived on the Meredith Reynolds, she carried the serum onto the station and gave it to you with your lunch. I suspect it also had a sedative in it to make your body stay calm while the nanocytes began the transition.
Her thoughts reeling, Fina shook her head. But how? Station security checks for suspicious things like that.
She brought groceries with her. Adam explained. The serum was mixed into the container of orange juice, and she'd programmed the nanocytes to remain inert until the serum hit your digestive system. Security checks things thoroughly, but not at the microscopic level.
Fina brought her hands up to her face, her thoughts spinning. She shook her head, uncertain what to think or feel. What was there to say when the person who had taken care of you for years betrayed you in such a big way? She brought her hands down and looked at Link and April, tears shimmering, though she focused and contained her emotions before they could fall. Did she admit to doing it?
Did she say anything about why?
Dr. Kielsen nodded, her expression compassionate. She admitted to it. Link leaned in, his eyes glinting.
She won't say why, though. She says only you get to hear that.
Fina eased herself onto the pad of the pod dock. It was too much. I don't think I can see her. Not now. Link's face was unreadable. Fina couldn't help wishing she knew what was going through his mind. In another breath, she did know, and she stilled as Link's eyes flashed with anger. She withdrew her mind so fast, she almost gave herself mental whiplash.
Fina Waters, you are being a coward.
Link's words pierced the mental noise, causing her to stiffen and making her...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?